This is, of course, completely correct from a general theoretical point of view, but the immediate consequence, once you state that, is then to put the question, are there pre-revolutionary conditions existing in the imperialist countries of Western Europe which enable us to make a revolution in 6 months or in 1 year in order to help our Vietnamese comrades? And Comrade Maitan indicated how true how real is the existence of these pre-revolutionary conditions in many, many semi-colonial countries in the world, but nobody in his right mind can say that today the struggle for the conquest of power, the overthrow of the bourgeoisie, and the establishment of a victorious socialist revolution in Britain, in Italy, in Western Germany, or in the United States of America is on the agenda in the next 6 months. There is no pre-revolutionary situation in any of these countries. This seems absolutely obvious for anybody who examines the question in an objective way. So that to put the question in this general way, in this abstract way, by saying the only efficient way to help the colonial revolution, the Vietnamese revolution, in our Western countries, in the imperialist countries, is to make a revolution here, is to transform a concrete, immediate task of action into a general programmatic proclamation, which is of course true, but which is true today as it was true 30 years ago and as it will be in 20 years if in the meantime the conditions have not changed in these imperialist countries. In other words, it is an escapist answer and it leads concretely to abstentionism. It leads to the concrete conclusion that we cannot do anything efficiently here to help our comrades in Vietnam who in such a heroic way are today all alone carrying the burden of concentrated counter-revolutionary action by American imperialism. The other proposal, if I can call it like that, or the other strategic line which is developed by certain tendencies in relation with this problem of solidarity with the Vietnam Revolution is, in my opinion, also escapist. It is an attempt to escalate not the scope and the purpose and the form which the mass protest or mass resistance movement against American imperialism take, but to escape towards what certain comrades have called, or certain tendencies have called, guerrilla, the equivalent of guerrilla actions inside the imperialist countries. Now, I understand completely, and I sympathize and I support any attempt by groups of people, like, for instance, the vanguard of the American Negro movement, to defend themselves, including arms in hand, when they are attacked, murdered, oppressed, and when this kind of way of posing the problem corresponds to a concrete, objective situation which can be understood by hundreds of thousands of people. But it is absolutely evident that if you start today, if you think that you can help the Vietnamese Revolution by starting urban guerrilla struggles in West Berlin, in Rome, or in London, you commit a terrible mistake, because there are absolutely no objective conditions present in these countries for such kind of developments. There is not the slightest possibility that they will trigger off in an efficient and serious way movements which can actually, in fact, weaken the American war machine. And once we pose the question in this way, once we formulate it in a concrete way, to say the real help which we can give immediately, not the general help of preparing revolution in our countries, but the real help which we can give immediately to the Vietnamese revolution is to try, to consciously try to weaken the American war machine by our actions in the imperialist countries. Once we pose the question in that way, the answer becomes very logical, very evident. This means then to develop the movement of mass protest or even mass resistance, which has developed amongst the youth and certain sectors of the working class of the imperialist countries against the American aggression, to the point where it comes into direct collision with certain specific and concrete needs of that war machine in the imperialist countries. We have already a certain number of concrete examples of this. We have the example of the Australian dockers who refused to transport munitions and arms to Vietnam for the American war machine in Vietnam. We have the example of the Japanese trade union movement, which proclaimed a token general strike of 24 hours against the Vietnam War. A token general strike does not have immediate and very great practical effects, but it is in any case along lines like these that a real escalation of the movement of opposition against American imperialism, against the war of American imperialism is possible, and this must not be conceived only, again, in these general and abstract ways of a general strike or a general intervention of all trade unions, things which are condemned to remain very platonic and very abstract in the concrete conditions in which we are, but it must lead to the selection in each country, in each of the imperialist countries of Western Europe and in Japan, of a certain number of concrete objectives, a certain number of material, strategic material necessary for the war machine, a certain number of transport operations, very important for this war machine, a certain number of concrete economic, commercial, or military interests which this war machine has established in these countries on which the movement could concentrate. The tremendous importance of such form of escalation of the anti-imperialist movement in the imperialist countries is, of course, that it will tend, and I come so to my second problem to which I want to give an answer, that it will tend, at least tend, I don't say succeed immediately, but tend to blend the resistance movement against the imperialist war in Vietnam with more general anti-capitalist purposes and tendencies inside the imperialist countries, that a conscious attempt to link this movement with certain sectors of the organized working class movement can be made, that certain responses can be struggled for inside the organized labor movement, and that the risk of dispersion of energy can be at least partially avoided by creating concrete objectives and purposes on which I also believe, especially the example of Japan has shown, these concrete practical results and partial victories are absolutely possible under the conditions which we know today. I say this is the second question to which we have to try to give an answer. Second question posed by the problems of global anti-imperialist strategy inside our own countries. This is the question of the combination, reintegration of the new youth vanguard, which has appeared in most of these imperialist countries, with the working class as such. This is today not an abstract problem, it's a very concrete problem. Between the middle of February and your own demonstration in London, you have had practically within 4 weeks' time, three tremendous demonstrations in Western Europe, as we did not have, I think, since many, many years. You have had 20,000 people in West Berlin, you have had 20,000 people in Brussels, you have had 30,000 people in London, all in demonstrations which were directed against the American imperialist war in Vietnam, but which had a level of consciousness of their participants which was much more radical than the average level of consciousness today of either the classical social democratic labor parties or the mass Stalinist communist parties in the West. The driving force of these demonstrations were undoubtedly student forces. There is absolutely no doubt about that. There was working class participation, perhaps a little bit more in Belgium than in Western Germany. I don't know about the exact proportion in London, but the driving force was student, and this should not be an astonishment for us. This is linked with a worldwide phenomenon today, this worldwide phenomenon of student revolt, which has very concrete sociological roots in the big development of the number of university students in the world. You have today 1.5